Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in 1 Corinthians to chapter 4. Today we are going to begin at verse 9 and read down through verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. "For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour we hunger and thirst. We are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and still are like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things." Amen. Please be seated. The Apostle Paul is still in this section using irony and sarcasm to rebuke the Corinthians of their spiritual pride. There are a number of folks in the church, perhaps not everyone, but certainly a majority of the folks in the church in Corinth seem to be caught up in the idea that they have a right to be proud of all of their marvelous accomplishments, that they have arrived, and that they are worthy to be rulers among men. They have caught the idea, I think wrongly, that being a child of the king means you rule on earth during this life. And there are many people today who make the same mistake of thinking that. Being a child of the king does mean that you rule, but it's not necessarily in this life at all. It's in the life to come. And so they've gotten things backwards. And they think that they're so good that they don't need any help. They don't need anyone else. They don't need these apostles like the Apostle Paul. And what Paul wants them to understand is just how wrong they are in this situation. They're looking at the apostles that God has chosen and sent forth as His ambassadors in a similar way to the way that the world looks at them, which is with scorn and ridicule and rebuke and disdain. And here's the church doing much the same thing. And so Paul rebukes them and shows them that they're really not viewing the apostles much different from the way that the unregenerate world does. And so he starts out by talking about how he thinks that God has exhibited the apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death. They and the Corinthians, in their wisdom, are so proud of their wisdom that they think that the world surrounding them in Corinth is just looking on them with awe. That they're such wonderful people that certainly the world is honoring them and respecting them, and they are already claiming to be rulers during this age and not in the age to come. And they're looking at the apostles and what the apostles are teaching, and they are thinking that the apostles are inferior to them. Now, this is a complete contrast to what Jesus Himself actually says. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said to the 12, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So that is Jesus' opinion and evaluation of these men who have followed Him. And so what the Corinthians have done is they've gotten everything backwards. Their view is, we're rulers now, and you apostles are nothing. And Paul is reminding them, and Jesus, of course, would remind them, the Corinthians are not rulers now, and the apostles have been ordained to be rulers in the age to come. They've gotten it backwards. But Paul says, I think that God has put us apostles on display, not as earthly leaders in the present age, but as captives being led along to death. Here's the picture. The picture that he's giving here, the words that he writes there in verse 9, God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death. Here's the picture. And the Corinthians would have been familiar with this idea. The army has gone out to battle, and they have won the war, and they've come home victorious. And so here comes the parade through town of the returning conquerors, in the leader, the generals and the captains riding on horses and in their chariots. And following them are the foot soldiers who are marching proudly. And at the very end of the parade, in chains, are the prisoners. And they're being led along, and they're going to be taken, paraded through town, and then taken into the arena and publicly executed. And Paul says, that's who we are. We the apostles, we're the ones being led along in chains at the end of the parade. We're the ones who are facing the death penalty because we have become a spectacle to the world, to the angels, and to men. Now, that word for spectacle is the word theater. Okay, it's the word that we get theater from. And it's talking about the amphitheater, the arena in which condemned prisoners were publicly executed by, well, in Rome sometimes by being crucified in the middle of the amphitheater or being thrown to lions or to other wild animals or forced to fight against soldiers and kill. All the world is watching. There are crowds that are gathering to watch the execution of these prisoners. And so Paul says, that's who we are. That's who the apostles are. We're the ones that are being led along to the slaughter. And we're about to be publicly executed. And the world is watching. And notice the watchers are both angels and men. Did you see that? It's both angels and men. The angels of God take an interest in both the lives and in the deaths of the people of God whom they are sent to serve. We saw when we studied the letter to the Hebrews that the job of the angels collectively is to watch over the people of God collectively. And so they take an interest in the lives of God's people. And so here Paul is saying the angels are watching the apostles being led away to slaughter like this, as are men, both unregenerate men and men from the church as well. And so their lives and their deaths are on display for the whole universe to see. In contrast to the Corinthians then, who thought that they were the rulers, who thought that they were the wise ones, the apostles are nothing, and they are condemned to die. But this view is really the opposite of what reality is. Paul then continues with his irony and his sarcasm in verse 10 to talk about people that are both fools and wise. He draws a comparison and contrast here. We are fools for Christ's sake, he says, but you, sarcasm, you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. The Corinthians were trying to have what they consider to be the best of both worlds. You see, the problem here was they're trying to do what some people try to do today, and that is to claim faith in Christ with one hand and cling to the very best of the world with the other hand. And they thought they could do that, that they could hold on to worldly wisdom and worldly honor at the same time. And so as they do this, they think, boy, we're really great. And then they look at Paul and they think, what a fool. What a fool he is, because look how zealous this man is. Where did it get him? Where does zeal get him? He gets beat up all the time. And so they don't have any respect for Paul and the other apostles. They thought they were ever so wise in the ways of the world, able to balance faith in Christ with the best of worldly wisdom and worldly honor and so forth. And they didn't want, just like folks today, they didn't want to be thought religious zealots or fools by the world. In other words, they didn't want the reputation that the world gives to Christians of being fools and of being religious nuts. And so they're trying to avoid that. And in their estimation of avoiding that, they're thinking, well, the apostles are weak. We're strong enough. We're strong enough. We can hold both the world and Christ, they think. And the apostles must be weak because they can only hold on to Christ. They can't hold on to the world. You see, they're esteeming worldly power as being a very important thing. And they see the apostles as not having worldly power. And therefore, they think they're only weak. They are thinking of themselves as people who deserve honor. We're being honored by society. And then they look at the apostles and they say the exact opposite. They're dishonored. They're despised. They're ill-regarded. And so while they're seeking the world's honor, they are believing at the same time that anyone that the world doesn't honor is not worthy of respect in any way. And so that is what's going on with them. They're really caught up, I guess. I was trying to figure out whether to... I'm going to say it anyway. Okay, they take the hymn hadn't been written at that time, but Child of the King, and they blow it all out of proportion, and they think, I'm a child of the King now, so I can get whatever I want now. And that's the way it ought to be now. Now, to take that to the absolute ultimate extreme, within the last 2 weeks, I read of one of these prosperity preachers who received a revelation from the Lord that God wants him to buy a $450 million jet plane to fly around in so he can spread his message. And so he's told his followers that they need to cough up the $450 million so that he can fly around in this jet plane. That's something of the attitude that these Corinthians have got. You know, we're so great that we ought to have everything right now, and we ought to rule right now. And if the apostles aren't doing that, then they're not as great as we are. That's their approach. And so Paul describes what he and the other apostles go through. He says, in the present hour, we hunger and thirst. We're poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. We labor working with our own hands. Okay, this is the description of Paul and others who are servants of Christ in this way. And so the apostles are not living like kings in palaces. The apostles instead find themselves often, especially Paul did, among the most despised of men. And so he's describing his own life. There were times, he tells us in other places, that he went hungry and he went thirsty. There were times when he and others lacked adequate clothing. This word buffeted is a word that means to be struck with the fist. And so what Paul's talking about there is not official persecution. Yes, Paul officially was beaten by the government sometimes. But he's talking about mobs that didn't like the message that he brought, and they beat him with their fist to try to kill the messenger, try to get rid of him. And so he's saying, he's just basically saying, we've been mugged. We've been beaten up. Because there are those that didn't want to hear what we've got to say. And then he talks about them being homeless. And what he means by that is that they have left their homeland. They have no permanent residence on earth. They are rejected by the Jewish people. All the apostles at that particular time were Jews, obviously. And yet they've been rejected by the leaders of the Jews. And they're not really Gentiles either. And so they are like Jesus in the sense that they don't have any place to lay their head. They don't have a place to call home in this world. And they're forced to work with their hands to take care of themselves. Now, there's nothing wrong with manual labor, obviously, and all the Jewish young men were taught a trade. That was something that they were expected to know and to do. And Paul is a tent maker, and that's an honorable trade. But when you come to Corinth, there is a culture in Corinth that believes that manual labor is only something that slaves do. That working with your hands is something that is below and beneath a person of culture and learning. And so anybody who works with his hand, a cultured Corinthian would think, is merely a slave. He's not a person of learning and education and understanding. He's not a person to respect. He's a person that you send on errands, but you don't treat with respect and honor. And so they look down on Paul because he worked with his hands. Now, all of this is how they see themselves. And this is how even the church in Corinth is treating, some people in the church in Corinth are treating Paul. As well as others. And then Paul describes how he and the other apostles and servants of Christ react when they are mistreated. The end of verse 12 and verse 13. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. Now, the apostles don't act like worldly men do. And so the Corinthians would have seen Paul and others as being weaklings because they lived by a code that we can understand today, that many people today live by. Don't get mad, get even. And that was the Corinthian code, very similar to any unregenerate man's code. You treat me bad and I'll be worse to you. And instead, what the apostles are doing is they are actually reflecting what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount and the way they dealt with others. When they were reviled or ill-spoken of, they didn't reply in the same way. They blessed their enemies instead. And that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. When they were persecuted for Christ's sake, they didn't seek to get even, but they endured those persecutions. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 5, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. When they were slandered or lied about, they didn't seek to tell greater lies about the slanderer, but they prayed for him instead. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And so when he talks about entreating, he's not saying when they're mistreated and persecuted that they beg for their lives. He's saying, no, they entreated God for the souls of the ones who were doing the persecution. Only the Holy Spirit can cause a person to do that. And that's what's happening here. And so the apostles are acting completely differently from all the culture around them and all the Greek culture that surrounds the Corinthians. Their responses, think about it for a second, the responses that the apostles give because of what Jesus taught would appear to be weakness in the eyes of these strong men in the Corinthian church. But they're acting in the way that Jesus told his disciples, Christians, are to act toward others. And so his final, he keeps going down and down and down in estimation. And he finally comes to this place where he says, we have become, and here's the way the world and some in the church were looking at Paul and others. We have become, he says, and are still the scum of the world and refuse of all things. The scum of the earth. Now, that word scum that's used here is a word that, it speaks of what you collect in a dustpan after you have swept up a particularly nasty place. I'm thinking here of what my carport looks like, with all the leaves and all the dirt and all the grass and everything blows in and collects in the corners, and then the spiders move in, and then you got to get the dustpan out, and you got to sweep all that stuff up. What do you want to do with that full dustpan when you finish sweeping? You're not going to take it in and put it in the middle of your coffee table in your living room and say, look at how wonderful this stuff is. No, you toss it away, right? It's good for nothing. He's saying that's the way the world looks at us. We're good for nothing. And then he uses the word refuse, and that word has to do with all that stuck-on food that's left on dishes after a party. All that nasty stuff that you didn't get to right away, and then you come and it's dried and it's hard and you have to scrape it off the dishes before you can wash the dishes. What are you going to do with all that stuff that you scrape off? Well, you're not going to eat it, right? You're going to throw that away as well. And so these two words describe disgusting stuff, stuff that you're not going to do anything with, stuff that you throw out. And he says, that's the way the world looks at us. And that's the way some of you are looking at us. That's what he's getting at. Well, what's this mean for us as Christians today? What that means for us and what we can learn from what Paul is saying here is that you and I are not to think of ourselves as rulers among men in this life, as those who in ourselves are worthy of being followed by others because of who we are. Instead, the way we need to look at ourselves as servants of Christ is as prisoners who have been captured by the Lord Jesus Christ and who are basically being led away to death. That our lives are the lives of prisoners captured by Christ, and ultimately we are being led away to the slaughter. And instead of thinking of yourselves as children of the King in this life right now, you need to think of yourselves as those whom the world is watching and waiting for you to fail and to fall. Because the world is doing just exactly that. They're waiting for you to mess up so that they can gloat over you and say, if so-and-so is a Christian, why should I have anything to do with Jesus? That's really the way the world approaches this. And so be aware of that, that some in the church and some in the world are looking for genuine Christians to mess up badly so that they can have an excuse for their own sin and so they can have an excuse for not following the Lord. Instead of seeking the world's approval, you and I need to realize that the world is never going to accept Christians until we give up everything that has to do with Christianity. That's just basically the way it is. There are people in the church today who are giving up little bits and pieces of the gospel or little bits and pieces of what the Bible teaches, thinking this will make them more acceptable in the eyes of worldly wise men. And what they do not realize is the world will never accept them until they have given up everything that has to do with Christ. Once you've abandoned all that has to be done with Christ, once you are no different from them, and then call yourself a Christian, they'll say, okay, you're the kind of Christian we can put up with. But as long as you stand for anything at all, the world's not going to accept that. Instead of thinking that you're strong and self-reliant, you need to realize that you are dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ for every single thing that you have and every single thing that you are. And that's true of all of us. Instead of seeking honor from among men, you need to content yourselves with being dishonored for Christ's sake. There will come a time, perhaps in our lifetime, when Christians are seen as the enemy. This has happened throughout church history. When simply for the stand that everyone has always taken about Scripture, everyone is always talking about the gospel, we will be seen as enemies of mankind. That's what they, in the apostles' day, one of the charges that was leveled against them in the New Testament was these men are enemies of mankind. And that's the type of thing that we should expect may come our way as well. Instead of seeking the best things that this life has to offer, you and I need to content ourselves with serving our Savior no matter what conditions that may be under. Instead of returning evil for evil, we need to remember what Jesus teaches, and that is to bless and to pray for those who persecute us and to endure to the very end. And that, I'm not saying it's easy. That's a very hard thing to do, but that's what the Lord would have us to do. Instead of seeking fame and fortune here below, we need to content ourselves with having no reputation among men, and even a vile reputation, though an undeserved one, but a vile reputation because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that time may very well come when people would spit upon us simply because of our Christian faith. And so Paul gives that example right there. This was going on in his day. And it could happen in our day. And so we need to be ready for it. We need to recognize that the things that the world counts as being so important are of very little value and very little importance when it comes to serving God. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that Paul gives us this good example of what it is to be a Christian and what to expect from not only the world, but even from some within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may we be content to serve you in whatever condition you would place us. May we simply be your servants and recognize that all the blessings of being a child of the King are held out for us after this life. And as children of yours throughout all eternity. And so, Father, bless us to be content with what you've given us and to seek to be your servants in the midst of a hostile and a sinful and a fallen world. May we live as lights, and may we speak the gospel and live as those redeemed from sin. Through Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.